This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Okay, it is the Lombardi Line as we welcome you back, presented by BetMGM. I'm Patrick Maher. Of course, he's Michael Lombardi. After his sojourn, he's back there in Ocean City, New Jersey. He's in mid-season form. He's got the text. I even think I saw you chewing on a number two pencil earlier today. You know he's in regular season form when he breaks out the number two, okay? Is that what I saw you chewing on?
No, I think it's a pen. I only have wingtip pencils over here. But anyway, how are we doing, Patrick? We good for the second hour? We're ready to go?
We're not doing good.
What do you have up your sleeve?
Well, a couple things. Three things. Green Bay, Kansas City. Green Bay's in Kansas City tonight, of course, and it's two. Most shops sit in 1.5, actually, with Green Bay favored. San Francisco, the news, Pat McAfee reporting, Michael Lombardi told you, Trey Lance should be playing plenty. It looks like Lance is going to get the first half today. San Francisco's laying 3 on the game. They're laying 3.5, 4 in the first half at Houston. You've got tomorrow 4 preseason week 3 games, including New England and Las Vegas, which brings us to where I want to go. I have been so excited to hear about, first off, did you see what Belichick was saying about the training facility there in Henderson, Nevada? He said it's the best he's ever seen the Raiders built. But you were there last week you were there earlier this week. I always get confused because our Mondays are on a Thursday. Walk us through the joint practices. What'd you take away, Michael?
Well, I mean, I think Bill's right. I mean, Mark Davis, the former president, Mark Bedane, they did a wonderful job in building this facility. It is magnificent. It's got 3 great practice fields. It's got an indoor practice field. The offices are functional. They're not over the top. It's not like they're using them for recruiting. They're functional. They've got enough office space, and it really works. And the players are in a lot of comfort considering where we were. You know, I put an Instagram reel out. You know, when we were in Alameda, 1220 Harbor Bay Parkway there in Alameda, I mean, we had the worst carpet you could ever imagine. I mean, it was disgusting. It was pink and green. You know, we wouldn't change the carpet. Couldn't get office supply. I mean, try to get a number two pencil then. Good luck, you know. And so, you know, legal pads, forget about it, you know. And so this is just a completely different atmosphere. Credit to Mark Davis, the owner of the Raiders. Magnificent. I think it's just really wonderful. And I thought the practices were great. I was there for a Tuesday practice. The Monday, the Raiders did not practice. The Patriots practiced at the facility on Monday. They went back to the M Hotel where they're staying. And then Tuesday, they both practiced together. And then I had to leave Wednesday morning. But I thought it was 2 really good practices. I mean, 2 teams practicing well together. No fights. The players understood what each situation was, how they were handling the situation. And you got to see it. I think the one thing for me that jumps out is whenever you can get a chance to watch a great player, you learn so much watching them. And Davante Adams is a great player, but he's one of the hardest working players on the team. You know, and you could see it in his route detail. You could see it in his pace. You could see it in what he was doing. To me, it was remarkable.
Okay, couple things. One, you can go to M Lombardi NFL on Instagram to see the stories, because when you're talking about these new facilities, and there's always so much consternation when a team leaves a city for another, but when you were right there by the airport with your old facilities there in Alameda, I think it's those offices were famously bad for just any industry, let alone being one of 32 in the NFL. You go from that to having the most glorious setup in the NFL. Like, you can understand why Mark Davis had to get out.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Raiders won Super Bowls in bad facilities. The facility in El Segundo was an old middle school. You know, in fact, Elliot Wolf, who's the assistant general manager at the Patriots, and I were laughing. I said, if your dad was here, you know, worked in El Segundo, worked over, you know, in Santa Rosa. That was a dump up there, too. So it's not what makes it. I mean, when I won the first Super Bowl in my life, we were at 711 Nevada Street, which was kind of a dumpy place. But this workplace, because the players are around so much, the workplace environment, the food, the conditioning, all the things that they need to become a better player are right there. And it's just so well done there. In New England, it's a little different because it's in the stadium. There's no windows. It's a conducive environment, but they don't have it. They don't have as much space as they do out there in Henderson.
I'm glad you brought up Davante Adams, because my time there in Vegas, it was short while he was there, but all you heard about is what a professional he was, how hard he practices, how every single practice and every single rep is so fastidious. And I bring him up because, remember, you know about the connection with Carr and Davante Adams in college, so there should be some synergy. 1583 as far as receiving yards for Davante Adams last year. I go to DraftKings. He's sitting 1,200 and a half. Receiving yards. You like him on that over?
Well, I mean, look, he's going to get every single double coverage, but he beats against it. You know, he's able to win when everybody knows he's getting the football. And Carr is really accurate with the ball. I mean, that's not state secrets that I'm giving out. If Carr's protected, he will deliver the ball to Adams in the spot where only he will catch it. He's very good at doing that. So I think this offense is very good. It has great skill. I didn't see Waller. He was still injured, so he wasn't out there. But they've got enough running backs. I think Jacobs can be a very good back in what they're trying to get done. The box will be light. Hunter Renfrow is only going to be a better pro because Hunter Renfrow is watching Adams work. He's watching how much detail's in his game. That raises the bar. This is a different team than when McDaniels went to Denver. And everybody wants to draw comparisons. This team has embraced the, for lack of a better term, the Patriot way, the attention to detail that the coaches want to give. Carr, Adams, those guys are all in. And so McDaniels has a core of players that are already buying into the program. That's critical. Now, he can start to develop what he wants to develop, and I think you'll see that with Adams' play on the field. I think it'll affect Renfrow. I know it'll affect Waller because Waller can be really good.
What was the interaction like? You saw McDaniels. I mean, these are all old friends of yours, not just colleagues.
No, it's a homecoming.
You saw McDaniels.
Patrick, it was a homecoming for everybody.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's
Josh,
crazy.
His dad was there, Tom McDaniel, a legendary high school coach from Northeast Ohio down in Canton. You know, Bill, you know, like Bill and I were talking on the field. I mean, it's kind of surreal. I mean, Bill and I in 1991, you know, Brian Belichick wasn't even born yet. Mick was a baby. Steven was a baby. And here these two guys are out there running offense and defense. I mean, it's kind of like, whoa, wait a minute. Where did this all happen? How did that happen so quickly, you know? And it was a nostalgic tour a little bit to see it, but it was fun to watch the two teams. There's mutual respect between, obviously, the coaches on each staff.
I was going to say, it must just be one of those overwhelming how time flies moments when you get together with that crew, right? I mean, think about it. Your son's now the offensive coordinator.
Right. I mean, and, you know, like I kid around there, too. When I was at the Raiders, he was going down the locker room trying to steal wristbands and shoes and, you know, and all that stuff. And now he's calling plays, you know. It's hilarious. I mean, it's very humbling. It's both Millie and I are very proud of him for what he's been able to do in his career. But, you know, it's just like, where did it go? Where did time how did it happen that quickly?
Yeah. And, of course, Matt down in Carolina as well. How did you find Bill Belichick as far as mood? As a better, you know, I have to pry a little bit. I'm trying to get a vibe for what he thought of his team and where they stood right now.
I think he feels like he's got enough talent offensively. I think he does. You know, Thornton wasn't out there, but they're very high on Thornton. I think Thornton had a collarbone injury in the last game. Parker looks really good. Aguilar's had his best camp. Aguilar and Smith, I think, were the two players that didn't play well last year that have taken a step forward this season. So that was encouraging to him. It's all got to tie together. Defensively, they look faster to me on defense. They're not as good at corner without J.C. Jackson, but I think Jalen Mills is a good player. Look, nobody could cover Adams. Let's just put that out there. Like, nobody's covering Adams. And, you know, when the fans watch the one-on-one drill, wide receiver versus defensive back, that's a hard drill for the defensive back. But even with that, no one's covering Adams. I mean, that's how good he is. And what makes him so good is he plays slow, but he's playing fast. Like, everything he does looks like he gives no effort to it, but it's just amazing. And his hands, his ability to catch the ball when the ball is in the air without him showing his hands is remarkable. He really is a pickpocketer. He can pickpocket the ball perfectly. So, you know, it was good. I think the Patriots' concern will be tying all this together offensively. I think they're also concerned, are they going to be deep enough at the secondary to matter? And then I think when you look at the Raiders, defensive tackle, do they have enough depth there? And offensive line. I think those are the two positions that the Raiders feel like. They're better at corner. Hobbs is a good corner. You know, but look, here's the Raiders' problem more than anything. You know, you've got Abrams. You've got You've got the Arnett no longer on the team. Ruggs no longer on the team. And Farrell was his yesterday on Tuesday was the first practice he's had all camp. And then you've got Jacobs. All their first round picks from the Gruden administration are giving them, other than Jacobs, are giving them very little. And that affects your team, your ability to have depth.
Are you surprised?
No, I wrote about it in Gridiron Genius back here. I mean, I could have saved them a lot of time and money. You know, I mean, if you go, I should cite the page. If you go to the page, I mean, I wasn't being a jerk. I was just, I know John Gruden as a team builder. That's not his area of expertise.
I know. By the way, the irony, 8.5 as far as regular season wins, both the Patriots and Raiders essentially juiced up to the same over at DraftKings. When we come back, I want to ask you about Mac Jones. But quickly on Devontae Adams, it's what you always say about certain human beings. He was literally born to play the position. I mean, he's so natural and just so good at everything.
So good.
It's so precise.
It really is. And in his detail, right? He's out there. He's the hardest working guy out there. I mean, Max Crosby, after practice on Tuesday, ran gassers. And he's in great shape. I mean, Adams is the same way. Like, there's a standard of excellence that they're setting, which I think Josh needs.
Two guys on that Raiders team you pull for big time in life, and that is Waller and Crosby, who both insurmountable odds as far as addiction and have thrived. You like to see it. When we come back, it's year two for Mac. How did he look? He looks trim on TV. How did he look in person? I'm going to ask Michael Lombardi about Mac Jones next here at Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, it's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM is all your favorite wagering options, in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today. Stop by any MGM casino on the strip. Bring that state-issued ID. You're ready to go. Whatever your sport, whatever your style, you're going to love BetMGM state-of-the-art technology. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Got to be 21 years or older. If you have a gambling problem, 1-800-522-4700. Okay. Week 3 of the preseason as we welcome you back. Our week starts in earnest today on this Thursday. Hope you're doing well. He is Michael Lombardi. I'm Patrick Maher. Just a personal thing. What was it like watching your son on the practice field? Because that was the first time, right?
Yeah, that was the first time I actually seen him coach. It was great. I mean, it was so – it's very, very prideful, obviously. And watching his interaction with the players and talking to the players and have all the people come up to you and say so many nice things about what he's doing and how he's working. You know, it's as a parent for Millie and I, that's really a humbling and a very prideful thing. So it's great. It was fun. And, you know, it's like anytime I get a text from somebody who meets Matthew or Mick and, you know, they're very positive about him. It's, you know, as a father, you really – you want them to have their own careers. You want them to make their own mistakes, and you want to be able to look back and enjoy it. And I certainly was. So it was fun. It was really good.
Well, he's like 33 and he's already an offensive coordinator. So that is beating the odds times a trillion. But what you and Millie, and I know you both tend to deflect, but what you like to hear is everybody coming out and saying he's a really good person. That's the good place to start. And then you get to him being a good coach, right?
Well, one thing about this profession, you got to be grounded, you know, because there's so many highs and lows, and you can't let the highs get to you, and you can't let the lows get to you. You got to have to stay grounded. And fortunately, because his mother, you know, I wasn't home very much, so he got that from his mother. He understands how to be grounded.
And what does Matt do down in Carolina? He just walks through the rain, right?
Nothing. He walks through the rain. My man is the best. Matt is going to be, hopefully one day he'll get an opportunity to call. Matt will be a great play caller because Matt's a very good golfer, and Matt forgets the last bad shot. Like, Matt, you know, you need that mentality to call plays. You have to have that ability to go on to what's the most important play in football? The next play. And so often I've been in press boxes where the coaches are just so mad of the last play, they can't get to the next play.
I think that's a great point. And that translates into gambling as well, where you don't let the past defeat or the losing bet affect you. You can't go on tilt. You have to treat everything in a vacuum by itself. That is the hardest lesson bettors learn, is not to go on tilt and not to start chasing bets.
And not letting the last week win or lose affect you the current week.
Right.
I mean, that's one of Belichick's greatest strengths is his ability to every week's a new week. How are we going to play the game this week to win the game? What's the strategy involved to win the game? And I think that's the mentality you have to have in betting, too. What happened last week may not happen. Like, for example, tonight, San Francisco-Houston. It's the perfect game for San Francisco. For me, I'm going to watch this game tonight and see how Lance reacts to the speed of Houston's defense, to how his mind is settled, whether he reads the cover. I don't care about the completions, and I'm not going to post anything on Twitter talking about, you know, I love what Tua did here. He checked it. No. Let's stop that. It's preseason. But you're looking for little things to help you. And I think this will give you a great idea about, are you going to lay the 7 against Chicago in week 1 with a young quarterback on the road? I think this will be a little bit of a sign, and I think you've got to take that. I'm surprised about this game tonight, Patrick, that the over hasn't ticked up a little bit. It opened 40.5, and it stayed 40.5. There's some 41s, but it hasn't moved up. And I think these games in the last weekend have a propensity to go over because they just want to get them over with, and they'll just get it over. Let's go.
Yeah, overs have cashed. By the way, the overs have cashed in this preseason by an average of 9 points. So they're not just going over. They're soaring over. And it's a good point by you. Green Bay opened 39.5. I've seen them dip to 37.5 at most shops. And then San Francisco, Houston, as you mentioned, 40.5 opener, mostly 40.5s and 41s on the board. So a tremendous point by you. By the way, home teams just 15-17 straight up. So two games under 500 so far, 15-15-2 ATS. Again, that is going to be a theme. It has been a theme for years with us here on the Lombardi Line, the mitigation of home field advantage. I just thought I should bring it up. Now, transition. Mac. You know, there's a multitude of reasons. You always talk about when he was getting drafted, kind of that picture, that post that was floating around about Mac Jones. What we're starting to understand is he does have a little bit to his personality. There is an edge. What did you see and what did you think of Mac Jones at practice?
I thought his arm was much better in person. I thought he had more velocity on the ball. He drove the ball. I thought his accuracy was outstanding. And I think he's in command of his teammates. I think his teammates respect him and like him. And I think they're trying to get on the same page. I think it's see it with Aguilar, his accuracy with Aguilar, his timing with Aguilar. And I think ultimately they've got to get this offensive line settled. They moved Trent Brown to left tackle. Wynn was at right tackle, which I think will certainly help them. They're going to run the ball to the left. And as they get into that offense with Harris and Stevenson, those backs, I think it'll be pretty good. So I was impressed with Mac. I like Mac. I like Mac coming out. I thought Mac was more athletic watching him out there than I anticipated. He's not like a robot. You know, he doesn't play like without any juice in his lower body. I felt like he had that out there.
Well, regardless of industry, second year, we talk about the second year jump with rookies to their second year, their sophomore year in the league. But, I mean, there's just so much, whether it's just the day-to-day, the normal occurrences, like there's so much that you have to adjust to that year one where you feel comfortable coming into year two, especially as a leader on the team at quarterback.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think it's going to take a little bit as they change. So they're changing, not that they're changing the offense. They are in a sense of they're putting things in that are a little bit different than what he had last year. And it's going to take some time. They're scaling it back to allow some of the younger players to have an influence because they were voluminous in what they did offensively. So, but once they get to the week to week, I think once you get to the week to week of the game and he can get himself into a groove, I think that's when you'll start to see him excel.
Well, the reason they're adding so much to their repertoire is because of the new offensive coordinator.
There you go. I knew you'd get there. Look, I've said this. Okay, so like, all right, let's talk about that for a second. Okay, so you have a play sheet in front of you. And I could get one of Josh McDaniel's play sheets. And the way a play sheet is set up, it's, you know, third 3 to 5. Here are the 5 things we want to run. Third 10 and plus. Here's the 4 things we want to run. Like, what Kellen Moore's doing, what everybody is looking at what you game planned and calling it based on what you game planned right there at the sheet. Andy Reid's doing the same thing. And then they check it off with their thing. So the game plan is set up. Now, I think the more fundamental question is who is going to put the game plan together in New England? It's not who's calling it. Who's putting it together? How are they getting there? I think the head coach will be involved. I think he'll be intimately involved in all those things. I think he'll probably be more involved with offense than he was with defense, only because he knows that's where his expertise is needed. That's what good head coaches do. So, you know, who do I think will call the game? Could it be Patricia? Yeah, I think it could be Patricia. But I think because Billy Yates could help maybe coach the offensive line during that time. But for me, it's really about who is strategizing how to win the game and attacking the opponent's defense. And I think that'll happen with the head coach.
You know, I just hope Nesson and VSiN viewers understand my job is simply to ask Michael the questions that I know annoy him, and to do it as tactfully as possible. So understand, it's not a fun job sometimes. I know he's going to get pissed at me.
You never annoy me. That's not true. That's not fair. I don't get annoyed.
Hey, by the way.
I don't get annoyed. I just can only answer it so many ways. Yes.
I was just telling somebody yesterday, I was like, dude, I've worked with the guy for 3 years. It's the easiest thing ever. So I'm just playing with you. One thing I will ask you is when Joe Judge saw you, did he say, it's been a long effing time, and give you a hug? I just want to know if he swore a lot.
No hugs. No hugs. I didn't really spend much time with many. I mean, I saw all the Patriot coaches, but I spent more time with the head coach than anybody because, you know, those guys are busy. They're working, you know. They're working. They're kind of doing all their stuff. They got the drills to run. So I was able to kind of go in there and spend a little bit of time with the head coach and talk about a lot of things. We talk about the Hall of Fame, too. Look, Don Coryell got in the Hall of Fame and not Buddy Parker and not, you know, Clark Shaughnessy. That was a topic of conversation, which I go in extensively on my podcast today. You know, Femi pulled one of yours things today on the podcast. He got me at the end of the show and he got me all riled up. Got me on this Hall of Fame thing.
That is a good host because that's going to carry over to the next show. And you can find the GM Shuffle or GM Shuffle over at vsin.com/podcast. It's the best podcast as far as football, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, it is. Well, if there's a better historian outside of you as far as NFL historian, Bill Belichick is legitimately a historian.
He really is. He knows it. He understands it. And you remove the politics from it. Do you know Don Coryell won 52% of his games and never won a title? Did you know that?
Now I do.
He's in the Hall of Fame. And I love it. I think he was a wonderful advancement of the game. But people say, well, he invented the forward pass. No, Clark Shaughnessy gave us the forward pass. Let's put that straight.
I was going to say he gets a little too much credit for the innovation as well, but I don't want to bash RIP Don Coryell. When we come back, somehow we're going to wrap the Daily Coach into the Lombardi Line. You'll see. That's coming up next here at Lombardi Line.
You're listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, today is a huge day for us here at VSiN and everybody behind the scenes that put in the work on the Pro Football Betting Guide and the College Football Betting Guide, because the Pro Football Betting Guide, 110-plus digital pages, which is aesthetically so pleasing, it's out now. Okay, remember, the only way to get access to this year's Football Betting Guide is to become a VSiN all-access subscriber. Go there, do it. It takes a minute. Okay, you can sign up now for everything we offer, including Point Spread Weekly, Michael Lombardi's exclusive articles, and the guides for $175 through the Super Bowl. I'll give you a real text I received from Bloomingdale, who is a guy from Michigan I know. He said, Joe Judge. These guides are effing amazing. Why didn't you tell me about them last year? I did. You're just a degenerate. Sign up now, vsin.com/subscribe. Michael Lombardi, as we welcome you back here on the Lombardi Line. Yep. I'll just say this. I was reading through this morning the Super Bowl best bets, and it's worth getting the guide just to hear who Matt Eumanns has bet on to win the Super Bowl. It's fantastic. Matty Eumanns, who he's got. But the guide is just, it's so easy to navigate, and it's so comprehensive. It's incredible.
And the graphics are tremendous. And look, let's face it, you know, it's adjustable too, right? It's pliable, you know, because when you buy the guide, you're also buying the weekly information that you need to be good at this. This isn't one-stop shopping, right? So you're also going to get Points Bet Weekly, where you're going to, you know, be able to keep up on the games, keep up on the injuries, keep up on the trends, what's happening. So I think it's really important to do that. I know for me, you know, this year I plan on posting my power rankings in the guide every week too, because I think it helps me set the line. It may help you understand where the variance is in the line, because that's what we're looking for. We're looking for what team maybe have a slight variance in the line. And this week, my challenge is to kind of come up with week one power rankings, because we don't have information that we typically would have, because we don't have Trey Lance's numbers. We don't have Baker Mayfield's numbers in Carolina. We don't know what their third down offense is going to be like. We don't know what they do on 4-point plays. So all that stuff kind of comes into play, and I think this guide certainly helps you. And the work that Steve McAdin, Matt Newmans, you know, everybody did there is remarkable.
Well, McAdin with the numbers and analytics, if we sound like shills, understand something. At a lot of companies, when they talk about a product, they go and use other products. The reason we're so fervent and the reason we're so obsessed with these guides is because literally all the guys and women that you listen to on the channel, they use the information in the guide. So we're so dedicated to it. And like I said, it's not just a guide. It's also a teaching tool. If you're a new better, it'll help you understand.
Adam Burke puts his name on it, right? Wes Reynolds puts his – this isn't we're hiding behind Visa and say it. Like, when Pro Football Focus grades a player, that's – nobody knows who graded that guy.
Right?
So you don't have any idea, you know, well, this guy – you know, I love what they say on TV. This guy's a 64 player. Well, who gave him that grade? Tell me the guy who gave him the grade. Like, where did that grade come from? It originated from somebody. It wasn't Batman put it in the computer and it bounced out and said, oh, here it is. You know, the Riddler's staying over here. Like, somebody graded that player. And so what our guy does, we put names to it. We put players, you know, people. Matt Newmans wrote this about Indianapolis. Adam Burke wrote this about Minnesota. I wrote this about another team. The Chargers were written by, what, you know, whatever it is. And so now you got to stand by it. And when you do that, you put more into it.
That's a great point. Burke has a play, season win total on the Rams. He had plenty of time to get it in. Lombardi's got a play on Minnesota. He's got a play on the Giants. So it's all in there. Look, here's what I'm going to tell you. Right now, it's all $175. It would be worth it. Think about, this goes through the Super Bowl. $175 would be worth it just for the NFL betting guide, but you're getting the college football betting guide, which, by the way, is 350 pages. You get Point Spread weekly every Wednesday, which is worth the money. And then you get Michael Lombardi's exclusive articles and everything we offer. So it's vsin.com/subscribe.
You know, we complain about gas prices in America, which is hard, but we buy a bottle of water for $3.50. We never say anything about that, right? Like, if $2 a week, when you break the $175 down, for $2 a week, basically, or whatever it comes out to, 25 weeks into $175 is what? We're talking about $5, $6. We spend that at Starbucks for a cup of coffee. Like, it's really not that much.
That's
but,
right.
You know, when you, you know, and so the coffee gets us going for the day. We need that. So we pay for it every day. We need this to get us going. This is your coffee.
It's so funny. So vsin.com/subscribe. Remember, these prices are going to go up. So I encourage you just to go do it today and make the commitment. It's so funny you say that. I'm betting a dime, which, you know, whatever it is, on European soccer, but I won't sign up for Disney Plus because I'm like, month to month, I don't want. We put in perspective. We misprioritize.
Oh, that's too much money. I'm not buying. You know, $5 a gallon for water.
For
gas. But I'm going to spend $4.50 because I want Fiji water and I don't want the regular
exactly.
water. You know, like, come on, where are we coming from? You know, like, seriously, like, you know. Anyway, get the ice maker from. I'll tell you how to save money on water. Get the ice maker from that makes the ice from Chick-fil-A. You'll just drink tap water the whole time because the ice makes it perfect.
That ice maker you have is incredible. Let's be fair. I want to get that with the crushed ice.
Wait, do you see the picture I send you today? Wait, do you see the picture I send you today when I hook that when that TV goes up this afternoon? That's what I can't wait for.
Ooh, what size did you get?
I got a 55-inch outdoor TV, which helps you with the lighting and all that. So
you mean Berman ordered it?
Well, Berman's designed the whole thing. Now, he won't be a part. Berman doesn't do cleanup. He just does design and leaves. He doesn't do anything. Cleanup, dishes, none of that stuff. You know, no. He shows up for the cocktails. He's the idea guy. You know, feed the mayonnaise to the tuna. You know, that's the way he works it.
Okay, final word on the guides. It's vsin.com/subscribe. It takes a minute to sign up. You trust me, you won't regret it. Now, question for you.
I see Amal Shaw reading it, too. That tells you that all you need to know right there. Amal Shaw is always sneaking through it, you know?
Well, if there's a company guy here at VSiN, it starts with Amal Shaw. Let's be fair. Did you write today's Daily Coach?
I did not write today's Daily Coach. I wrote yesterday's Daily Coach on Team Building.
Did you write the one?
This is Trevor Kapp wrote this one.
So I want to see how we can apply these foundations to the betting market. So five key components of a championship caliber team. And you tell me.
That's the one I wrote.
Pardon me.
I wrote that one.
Yeah, I know it.
I wrote that one.
Competitive stamina, confidence in, without evidence, fight resistance, communication, trust, and respect. Best players set a tone. So what I'm going to ask you about your five components of a championship caliber team is let's apply them to some of the organizations today. Go ahead and jump in on this.
Well, let's take the Raiders. I was out at the Raiders, right? I don't know if the Raiders understand what competitive stamina is. I think that's something Josh has got to work on. I think Davante Adams does. I think Derek Carr does to a degree. But remember, this is a team that's not used to that. Okay, so I think that. I think this team will have confidence without evidence. I mean, they changed coaches last year. They were confident. They've got Carlson who's got kicks. They think they can win close games. So they have that. Resistance. I think they fought resistance last year with all the outside distraction, the noise that was coming from them. I think they could do that. I think they're learning to trust their teammates. I think they're learning to trust everybody and communicate with one another. And then, which I think is the most critical component of what I saw and witnessed from the Raiders, was their best players bought it. Their best players have bought into Josh McDaniels. They have bought it. So Adams, Carr, Crosby, all their good players are buying in. And they're holding the other players accountable for what's going on. And I think that's how you start to build a team. You don't start with these five automatically. You got to coach them. You got to coach communication. I just had a basketball coach in here in my office this morning. We were talking about all these things as well. And you got to coach communication. You got to talk about it. You got to say, hey, listen, this is what we need. This is how it's going to work. And you've got to have somebody else do the messaging for you.
Let's apply the five key components to the Bills, because the Bills across the board are your favorites in the market. So competitive stamina. Okay.
They
got it. Confidence without evidence.
They have that
resistance.
Too. They have. I think that's what I've seen so far from the Buffalo Bills. I think I see those five. I think they have every one of them. I think they have every one of them. And I think they had them last year. I think, you know, they had confidence without evidence even though they lost the opening game. They had confidence without evidence even though they lost two games to New England and Tampa Bay. They kept coming back. They have that fight with them. They're confidence without evidence doesn't mean you've lost and you're still confident. Confidence without evidence means you've won and played bad and you're willing to play better. You follow me? Like,
yes,
there's a standard that you have to reach to. It's a standard of excellence. It's just not, oh, okay, we're going to play good. You know, we won, that's okay. No, you're not satisfied by playing good and winning. Tom Brady, if he throws five touchdown passes and wins and he thinks the team played bad, he's going to go back on the team. So it's a little bit of that. And I see that, to me, when I'm looking at teams, you didn't tell me about this segment. Of course, I'm evaluating them on these five things all the time. And I think Buffalo has this. I think Buffalo's really good at this.
Well, Buffalo has number five, best players set a tone with Allen. And then you brought up the greatest example of all with Tom Brady, best players set a tone.
Right, that's right. And you need that. Patrick Mahomes will set the tone.
At the Daily _ Coach, this one was written by Michael Lombardi. These are essentially five key components of a championship caliber team. It was a very good read. Good job, Patrick. Michael Lombardi. Yeah,
thank
tremendous.
You, I appreciate that. I'm glad you read that. Thank you. I appreciate it.
and Matt Santos
we'll see if
as well
was reading. We'll see if Amal's doing any reading at all.
He's reading the NFL betting guide. And Amal signed up. He just texted me. You go to VSiN.com/subscribe. He finally became a subscriber. He's next.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, I tell you about it for good reason a lot, and that is because the king of sportsbooks, BetMGM, has the best reward point program in the business. You can convert those reward points to risk-free bets. Also, if you're planning on headed to Vegas, remember, you can use the rewards towards dining, shows, hotel rooms. It's an incredible feature. It's like your credit card. So remember, sign up right now, BetMGM.com, and you get rewards on every bet you place. Got to be 21 years or older. Please gamble responsibly. And if you have a gambling problem, it's 1-800-GAMBLER. Okay, we got you back here on a Thursday. It is the Lombardi Line. There's Michael Lombardi fired up in his office in Ocean City, New Jersey. As we go coast to coast, I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. And now, Michael, we go to, of course, Circa there. It's a tremendous sports book in Las Vegas, and talk to our good buddy, Amal Shah, one half of Odds On. Hi, Amal. How are you?
Doing well, thanks. How are you guys?
We're doing great, Amal. Well. Thank you for joining us.
It is, it's always great to see you. I have a question. I have a question for both of you. So we got neutral with Nebraska laying a price 13.5. Amal, I'll start with you. Yeah. Have you ever, you've traveled the world, have you ever been to Dublin, Ireland?
I have been to Shannon and been to Dublin. Where I want to go is Belfast, but haven't been there, but that's another story. I just think, it's interesting that they're playing this game overseas in Ireland, because I'm sure it's a hotbed of Northwestern and Nebraska alums.
Yeah, I didn't understand the connection, Amal. I got to be honest with you. That's why I was laughing when Vinny was on. I didn't understand the connection. And, I don't know. It's funny, with this game, I don't know where – why they would do it, why they would play a Big Ten game over there, in terms of a season. Is it, is this a preseason game, or is this really one counting, And so I was surprised by that, but obviously there's a love affair for football over there. And, we'll get a chance to take a look at the Huskers. I mean, we got Casey Thompson, a quarterback for the Huskers. So we'll see what he can do. I mean, he left Texas in a rush, and we'll see what he does in Lincoln.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Look, I like Mark Whipple a lot as the offensive coordinator. I think he'll do an effective job. I don't think he's a guy who's a good head coach, Michael, but I think he's a guy that really does a great job as a coordinator. We saw he's had success at other places, including Miami and Pittsburgh. I think he can be very effective and efficient for Scott Frost's team if he allows him just to kind of coach the offensive side of the ball there.
Yeah, it's Whipple, going to be – I don't know, Patrick. One second. I don't know how good Casey Thompson is. Like, he thinks he's an elite player, and I know people were trying to recruit him when he was leaving Texas, and he scared a lot of people off because of that kind of, hey, I'm this great player. I don't know how great he is. Patrick, what are your thoughts?
I think Adrian Martinez is still getting paid on that 401k at Nebraska.
You would have thought Adrian Martinez was a member of Congress. He's been there so long.
It's just weird. And another point that you both made about Northwestern and Nebraska and Ireland, like, this made sense when Notre Dame was playing over there. Not necessarily.
Or Boston College. Put Boston College over there. I don't know. But obviously, they sold the game.
Hill. You're not going to draw in Dublin.
Well, you could, though. I mean, the Catholics will come out for it, Amal.
Yeah,
I mean, it's
100%.
You won't have any Protestants showing up for them.
Yeah, I know. It's tough to park there, though. That's the problem.
Maybe they should be playing it in Belfast. Wait, I always get confused. Is that Catholic or is that Protestant?
Right down the Shankill, it'll be fun. We'll see.
Now,
it'll be the troubles all over again.
Yeah, exactly. Be drama. Hey, question for you. So we do have 7 coming up on Saturday, week 0. Do you have advice for bettors early season college football betting there, Amal?
Well, in terms of the games, I like Utah State against UConn. By the way, I tell you what, Jim Mora Jr., perfect fit at UConn. Program can't play, guy can't coach. Beautiful marriage. I mean, this should work
but
well.
Amal, are you going to lay the 28 there? Are you going to lay it?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm not necessarily the biggest Anderson fan. Michael, there is not a semblance of a thought in taking Connecticut. This team, unless it's basketball, men's or women's, I have no qualms backing them, but football, forget about it. This team, they're going to be down. Utah State, I would look at the first half numbers, probably going to be 16 or 17, might be as high as 17. I would still lay that there. I think they're going to blow them out. Logan Bonner and that offense are back. They've got 8 returning starters on an offense, a team that won 11 games last year. Granted, they won 4 games by 4 points or less, but none of these teams are anybody that represents anyone from the Mountain West. They're going to destroy UConn. UConn's got a long way to go in the rebuild. To me, Jim Mora Jr. taking this job tells me that, A, there weren't a lot of options available for him, and B, how desperate are you to take a job? Because, Michael, you know this better than Patrick and I do. One of the most important things that I see a lot of coaches miss upon is you don't just take the job to take a job. You got to take the right job. I thought, who was the guy from Notre Dame, the defensive coordinator?
Bob
Diacono, I think. Or not Bob Davey. Bob Diaco, thank you, who took the job at UConn. I thought it was a mistake to take the job. I thought he could coach defensively. You wait for a better job. You know, Kirby Smart had opportunities along the way. He waited and he took the Georgia job, and look at the success he's had. I think if you're a coach, taking the right job is just as important as where you land.
No, I agree 100% with that. But if you're Jim Mora and you've been struggling, you were at UCLA, you got fired, you got all this money. I mean, it's a chance to get back. You know, I think it, you know, I don't argue, because if you don't take one, the longer you wait, the longer you're out, the harder it becomes. So
sure.
I think that's a challenge. But, you know, look, I think Blake Anderson's a really good coach. He was good at Arkansas State. I think he'll do a really good job. I was surprised he wasn't up for the Washington job last year, you know, and DeBoer got it, who I think is a fabulous coach too. So, I mean, their program at Logan is a good program. It just, I thought 28 was an awful lot. Now, I know Bonner comes back, and they only have really two transfers on their offense. So they're going to be able to stay with some continuity, and Mara's team is filled with transfers.
Yeah, and not only that, you mentioned Anderson, though. I think sorry, go ahead, Patrick.
No, please go ahead, Wal.
I was going to say Anderson's massive failure at Wisconsin, I think, played a role.
No, this is a different Anderson.
I'm sorry, that's right. This one comes from Arkansas
Blake
State.
Anderson.
That's right.
This
I'm sorry,
is Blake
I confused the two for a second there. That's
Arkansas
right.
State. Right. Yeah, this is a completely
different
one.
Yeah, he had good success
one.
There.
Yeah. No, he's a good coach.
Yeah, I'm looking Wyoming, Illinois, week zero, open 10.
That's
with
what
Illinois,
I wanted to ask. Yeah,
up to 11. Here's the couple things. I know Wyoming's got a ton of turnover, Michael and Amal. Neither team has announced a starter at quarterback. This is why it's so dicey betting week zero. You got to get the college football betting guide. But neither team, Wyoming nor Illinois, Michael, I'll start with you, has announced a starter at quarterback.
Well, I mean, look, but that's the only position when you look at Wyoming's team that has a transfer. They have a corner that they transferred in, and then they have this, I think his name is Freely or something like that. Peasley his name is. Mm-hmm. So they had two transfers coming in, Peasley and Swoboda. And so they're deciding on who's going to be. But the rest of the team is relatively redshirt juniors and seniors. So they're returning. They only have two players of their 22 that are transferred in. Whereas Illinois, to me, with Brett Bielema, they've got a bunch of new players, a bunch of new cast of characters. So I don't know how that's all going to play out. I know this. You know, they're playing in Champaign-Urbana, which is a lot different than playing in the altitude. I think that really helps Illinois. But Illinois was – I don't know how you felt about Illinois last year, Amal, but Illinois, to me, wasn't a very good team. I think they have a long way to go. The program wasn't in very good shape even when Lovie left it.
I would agree with you. I thought it was absolutely in shambles there when Bielema took over. Look, they're going to run the football. We know that's what they're going to want to do there. This is a much more effective running team. But the big problem I have when you look at them, Patrick, is the quarterback position. You got Tommy DeVito, the transfer from Syracuse, and you got Arthur Sitkowski, who was at Rutgers. I don't know about you guys, but these are not two guys that I'm looking to take in the portal immediately. And I think when they're going to have to rely on the running game, and that's going to be the key for them. If they can run the ball effectively, I think they've got an opportunity to be efficient against a team like Wyoming, who loses a ton of starters. Chase Brown had over 1,000 yards rushing last year. He's a guy that can get it down on the ground. But the Illini defense, how effective are they? Because we know generally Wyoming's teams offensively are not great. But when I look at this matchup, I would probably stay away. Just Patrick brought up a great point. You got to see who's playing. You like these teams have starting offensive lines, starting quarterbacks returning. It helps immensely in terms of the offense and their efficiency.
I do have a play.
I mean, I'm
Michael.
With you, Amal. You're not getting me to bet Tommy DeVito or Arthur. I mean, if you can't play at Rutgers, you're not getting me to bet on you. No, I'm sorry.
Tommy DeVito.
And I respect their families. I'm not trying to insult their families. I'm sure they're wonderful kids.
I do, Amal and Michael, have a play. I played under 44.5. I see now it's 44. Again, the tempo with Wyoming, what were they? 113 in college football last year. Illinois, right around 100 as far as tempo. Yeah. Wyoming's newly formed offense, quarterback questions. I
think it'll be a conservative game. I kind of agree with you. I think it'll be a conservative game plan.
I think that's a great play, Patrick. And I'll tell you, when has Craig Bowles' teams offensively been any good? The only way you get beat on this play to me is one of two things happen. You had a couple of big, big plays, 75, 80-yard touchdown type of plays, or there are massive turnovers inside a team's own side of the 30-yard line.
Yep. Oh, well put. Under is 8-2 in Illinois' last 10 games, 14-5 to the under in their last 19 non-conference. I think it's going to be messy. I think it's going to be slow. I like the under there. Amal, have a great show coming up on Odds On. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Amal.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, thank you. That's Amal Shaw1 on Twitter. Thank you, Michael. Enjoy your Thursday. We'll be back tomorrow.
Thank you. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Thank you, Patrick. Thank you, Matt
Santos. Thank you, Matt Santos. We'll be here Saturday for week zero and get you set up for the games. Remember, VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up for the college football and pro football betting guides.